Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Second Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Now again, where do we get the knowledge of God? We get the knowledge of God right here in the Word of God. That's the primary way that God will speak to us, is through his Word. Yes, by his Spirit, but his Spirit will bring the Word of God to our remembrance. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God, they agree. The Holy Spirit's not going to say something that's contrary to the Bible. So we're laying hold of the knowledge of God, and God through us diffuses the fragrance, or manifests the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We do live among a lot of folks that are perishing, that are going to make hell their home. And eventually hell will be taken and thrown in the lake of fire. And so he says, we are the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death to death, and to the other, the aroma of life to life. So notice that there, that the knowledge of God that's being manifested through us, that's being spoken by us, isn't a blessing to everybody. Now, it's meant to be a blessing, and it's meant to produce life, but it does not do that in everybody. There are those who, because of the condition of their heart, the Word of God, when they hear it, is death to them. The Word of God is death to them because they are living in death. They are headed towards death. They have a heart that has embraced a lifestyle of death. You know, you think about it. I mean, some of the t-shirts that people wear that represent some of these rock bands, I mean, it's all death. It's all death. And then, you know, guys that enjoy riding Harley Davidsons, you know, these bikers out there, a lot of them, they wear skulls and things symbolizing death. There's a whole lot of folks that have embraced a lifestyle of death. Death is in their hearts. And if they don't get things adjusted, they'll spend eternity with the dead. And so when they hear the gospel, man, it's a turnoff to them. It bothers them. It shows up their condition, and they don't want to see that condition. Then there are those that hear the Word of God, and they love it. It's life to them. They get happy when they hear it. So if they like you, man, they're in good shape. They're not far from the kingdom of God. Amen, even though they might be currently unsaved. So that's exciting, see, because the Bible tells us that. But, you know, if they hate you and they despise you and they don't like you, now that could change. But also it's a sign of their rejection, not of you, but of the knowledge of Christ. Their rejection of the Word of God. But that doesn't mean necessarily we have to give up on them, because things can change. Amen? So the Word of God is a blessing to some, and it is a curse to others. But now God is good to all. In other words, his intentions are good. When he gave us his Word, it was because he had good things in mind for you and I. He wanted us to live a blessed life. That's why he gave it to us. And we see over here in Joshua chapter 1, it says in verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So here we're looking at the Old Testament, and this is the book of Joshua. Joshua was Moses' assistant, and Moses was the one that received the commandments and the law from God and gave that to the children of Israel. So now Moses, he's gone on to heaven, and Joshua has stepped up and taken his place. He's going to lead the children of Israel into this promised land. And God tells him, this book of the law with all its commandments, he said, that it shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Notice this, God is telling Joshua that if you'll learn my law, and you'll meditate on it, and you'll put it in your mouth, and you'll speak it, and really renew your mind with it, he says, what's going to happen? He says, you're going to make your way prosperous. You're going to have good success. So we see then the law must be a good thing. Right? The law must be a good thing. Because God is saying here that it's going to cause those who meditate in it and who are doers of it to have good success. So when he says, by meditating in the word of God, we will make our way prosperous, we'll have good success, he's not saying that by meditating in the word of God that we'll make ourselves righteous. He says we'll make our way prosperous. We'll not make ourselves righteous. Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. There's a lot of people I've tried to bring into the knowledge of the Lord, bring them to salvation. And you get to ministering to them, you tell them, where do you think you're at with God? And they'll tell you, yeah, you know, I'm good with God. I mean, I'm not perfect, but yeah, me and God are good. So you tell them, well, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd go to heaven. I never murdered anybody. And folks feel like they're pretty, you know, they're good enough to make heaven. They're not that bad. And so I like to bring them over to the law and remind them of the commandments. And I like to say things like, well, have you ever lied? Have you ever lied? Well, yeah, I've lied, you know, probably once or twice. That's a lie right there. Just once or twice, you know. I said, what do you call somebody that lies? A liar. I said, all right. I said, have you ever taken anything that didn't belong to you? Ever stolen anything? Well, maybe when I was little. You know, I might have stole some candy or something like that. I said, okay. I said, what do you call somebody that steals? He said, they'll say, you know, a thief. I said, well, have you ever used God's name in vain? Well, yeah. I said, well, that's blasphemy. Now, we've just covered 3 of the 10 commandments. And you just admitted you're a liar, a thief, and a blasphemer. So if God was to judge you on Judgment Day based on the 10 commandments, would you be innocent or guilty? Well, I guess I'd be guilty. Now we're getting somewhere. See, because we just went from, I'm in good shape. Oh yeah, I'm in good shape. I'm a good person. See, and so because they're a good person, they really don't need a Savior. In other words, they really don't need Jesus. I mean, it's really nice what Jesus did for them. You know, we appreciate him coming and giving his life to enhance our lives. And we do appreciate that. But, you know, That's about it. That's about as far as they believe Jesus is to them. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people like this. There's a lot of church-going people that think like this. They think that they're getting to heaven based on their own merits, based on their own righteousness, based on their own goodness. But when you bring them back to the law and you bring them back to the commandments, then they can begin to see, yeah, I've lied. Yeah, I've stolen. Yeah, I've used God's name in vain. And we could go on, right? And suddenly that conviction is able to get a hold of their hearts, and what happens? Their boasting stops. Their mouths are stopped. And they begin to become guilty before God. You know, you got to help people to see that they're in trouble with God before they see their need for His mercy and to be saved. Some folks just think, well, I need mercy, but it's like, it's just a little mercy. I don't need a whole lot of mercy. So you got to help them to see, well, you're a liar, you're a thief, you're a blasphemer. We can go on and on and on. And just all these, if you hate your brother, you're guilty of murder. If you look at someone with lust, you're an adulterer. I mean, we can just keep going. And it gets really bad. And there's some people you have to keep going because they're so self-righteous. They're so not so bad in their own sight. So you have to help them to see, you're in trouble with God. You're on a highway to hell. And you're even singing about it and don't even realize it. But when we show them the commandments, that's what happens. They become guilty before God. So that is one of the blessings of the commandments, to help us to see that we need a Savior. We need Jesus. Jesus isn't someone that just comes and enhances our life. He's not just some little rabbit's foot that we carry around hanging on a crucifix, you know, on a cross as a piece of jewelry. We need Jesus. We are lost. We are wretched. We are criminals in the sight of God, and we're going to hell without Him. And as we know that, we will continue to cling to Him and say, thank you, Jesus. I am not letting go of you. I need you. I need you. You are my Savior. I needed a Savior. I need a Savior. And I thank you that you're it. And I cling to you for life, eternal life. I cling to you. I need to have you. Amen. And that's the attitude that we'll have. And then Jesus said, he who's forgiven much loves much. So then we'll turn around and we will find ourselves just head over heels in love with Him as we look at the law and recognize how far we fall short in our own strength, in our own good works. We need Him to save us from our sins. And thank God, God did it. He came in the person of Jesus. He lived a righteous, perfect life, never sinned at any point, unlike any human being that ever lived, and then became a sacrifice for you and I, paid for our crimes, became a sinner for you and I on that cross, and in exchange gave us His righteousness. He's the one that makes us right in the sight of God. That's why in everything we do, when we pray in the name of Jesus. When we use our authority over the devil, we say, in the name of Jesus. We just don't say, devil, come out. We say, come out in the name of Jesus. Everything is by the name of Jesus. Everything. When we sit down and eat a meal, we bless it in the name of Jesus. We thank God for it in the name of Jesus. We don't have access to God apart from Jesus. Our prayers are going to go unheard apart from Jesus. He is our life. He is our everything. We could do nothing apart from Him. And that's the blessing of the law. It has stopped our mouths of self-righteous boasting. So when God gave the law, he gave it, number one, to help man to prosper in life, to find good success in life, not to make himself righteous. He was to see through the law that he could not be righteous and he needed a Savior. But once you got the Savior, don't throw away the law. Why? Because it will still make your way prosperous and help you to find good success. How many want to have good success? Well, the law will help get you there. It's full of the wisdom of God, his thoughts, his way of doing things. That has not changed under the new covenant. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His thoughts back then were just as powerful as they are today. Man, we need his law. And we can go through the word. I mean, if you can go, come over here to Psalm 119. And there's a lot of scriptures we could look at that just praise God's law. Not because it made men righteous, but because it helps them to make their way prosperous and find good success. Over here in Psalm 119, he says in verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now this is the Old Testament, so the primary word that they had was the law and the commandments. That was the primary word that they had, the law and the commandments. He says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And again, primarily, this is all about the law. Statutes, precepts, judgments. That's what the law brings us. He goes on, he says, verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things from your law. Friend, there are wonderful things in the law. Wonderful things. We need to be asking. We shouldn't be closing our eyes and avoiding it. We should be asking God, open my eyes to see wonderful things from your law. Verse 19, I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Man, don't hide them from me. We got a lot of folks hiding from the commandments today. And he's telling God, don't you hide your commandments from me. Verse 20, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments. At all times, you rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And he just goes on and on, verse after verse, talking about God's word, his statutes, his precepts. Verse 29, remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth, your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. Verse 32, I will run in the way of your commandments. You shall enlarge my heart. Verse 35, make me to walk in the path of your commandments. Make me to walk in the path of your command. Why? Because it's good. It's a good thing. It'll bring you success in life. He keeps going. Verse 47. And I will delight myself in your commandments. Verse 53. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. He keeps going. Verse 61, the cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. Verse 70, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. Verse 73, your hands have made me, fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I've hoped in your word. That's what we were talking about before, right? Those that fear the Lord are going to get happy when they see you. Why? Because you got the fragrance of Christ. Because you're walking in God's commandments. You're walking in his law. And I mean, all through the Psalms, there's just so much to say. The psalmists love God's law. They love his commandments. If they loved it back then, while yet they were sinners and had not yet had all their sins washed away and had been made righteous in the sight of God, how much more should you and I love the law today? Because when we look at it, there is no condemnation. There's no sense of guilt. Why? Because all our guilt has been washed in the blood of Jesus. And now we stand righteous before God. So in reality, when we look now at the law, we don't see guilt. We don't see a sinner. We don't feel condemnation. What we see when we look at the law is we see our righteousness. We see what we have been made in Christ Jesus. Bible says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Why don't you say it? Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what is the righteousness of God? What does that look like? Go look at the law. Go look at the commandments. As you look at the law, you see what God's righteousness looks like. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So now when you look at the law, you see you. You're able to get to know yourself better. You're able to get to know what you're all about now. That's me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the law shows us God's righteousness. In other words, it shows us ourselves. Now, I don't know about you, but I appreciate mirrors. How many people appreciate a good mirror? Good, clean mirror. Praise God. You know, I mean, when you look in a mirror, it gives you the opportunity to be able to see what everybody else has been seeing. Right? You go over to a mirror, you know. I mean, you could be walking around and not knowing it. You know, you might think you're pretty good. You walk around smiling, waving at everybody, you know, showing all your teeth. And then you walk over in front of a mirror. And you realize that the poppy seed that you had in your bagel early this morning is still right there in the center of your tooth for all the world to see. Shine, baby, shine. And you didn't know it. You just, hey, how you doing? And that's why folks like to get in front of a mirror after they've been away from one for any length of time. We always like to do a checkup, see how we're doing. Come on, some of you women know what I'm talking about. You carry one around with you. And it's a regular thing to just check and double check and make sure that you're looking right. You got to see how you look. A mirror helps you to see how you look. You would not know how your face looks without a mirror. You'd have to go by what other people say. And you can't trust everything other people say. So a mirror gives you the opportunity to be able to see what you look like. Well, now, in Christ Jesus, we're the righteousness of God. We get to see what we look like. And when we go to the law, there's no shame. There's no guilt. There's no condemnation. See, that was for those that were without Christ before Christ came. They would go and look at the law and they would see their flaws. And they would see their need for a Savior. And you know, that creates a dependency on God. And you know, that's what's going to make your way prosperous. That's what's going to cause you to have good success, is a dependency upon God. Recognizing, I am ugly. I am homely. I am in bad shape without Jesus. I need God. I need God. Now, under the old covenant, they were able to do these sacrifices and do certain ceremonial things that the law taught them to do in order to cover their sins, cover up their guilt. It didn't remove it, it didn't wash it away, but it gave them a temporary covering. But you and I now, with an unveiled face, not having to have anything covered up, we can look and say, we are clean and righteous and pure and good looking in the sight of God. Amen. We are good looking in the sight of God. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad God doesn't have to look at a bunch of ugly folks. Actually, the Bible says when Jesus comes back, he's coming back for a bride that has no spots, no blemishes, no wrinkles. Wow. I mean, she's beautiful. And it's referring to the church. The church. That's you and I. No spot, no wrinkles, clean, righteous, good looking, spiritually, in the sight of God. That's what we are. So now we can just go into the Word of God. There's no shame. There's no guilt. It's a good thing. It helps us to see God's statutes, God's judgments, God's way of thinking, God's way of doing things, so that we can live a righteous life. Notice in Romans, the 10th chapter, and in verse 3, it says, for they, talking about the Jewish people, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now notice that. Christ is the end of the law. Now, there's a lot of folks, they read things like that and they think, well, see, Christ came and put an end to the law. No more law. That's not what he said. He said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. In other words, we who believe in Christ are no longer trying to be made righteous through the law. He's not saying it's an end of the law. He's saying it's an end of trying to be righteous through the law. Christ ends that. We believe in him now for our righteousness. So it's over. Christ brought an end to our being made righteous through the law, through our good works, trying to be a good person. Isn't it good to know that you are the righteousness of God because of your faith in Jesus? And when you understand that, when you know and believe that, man, through him, I'm the righteousness of God, then we're no longer trying to live right, no longer trying to be right in the sight of God. Now we just know we are right. We are right. And when you know you're right, then it's easy to do right. We're not trying to do right to make ourselves right. We now see ourselves as right. And as a result of seeing ourselves right, what do right people do? They do right. That's just what right people do. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think that you're a dirty old sinner that needs to try to clean himself up and make himself righteous through your works by trying to keep the law, then you will get further and further and further from it. You'll get further and further from being right in the sight of God. You will frustrate yourself. you will frustrate yourself, just like we talked about last time. The more you try to be right, the harder it is. But when you understand, I am right, then you rest. You rest and just do right. Right people, just do right. So as we rest in faith, believing in Christ that we are righteous through him, we rest. And what can happen now? There's no pressure. There's no panic. And so it's easy to do right. Pressure. Pressure to perform. The pressure to perform is what makes people do wrong. It's what makes people say the wrong stuff, do the wrong thing. When you get under that pressure to perform, to measure up, to live up to others' expectations, to live up to God's expectations, when you get under this pressure to perform, life becomes hard. Life becomes difficult, which means doing good, doing the right things in life becomes more and more difficult. But when you lay all that aside and recognize, I'm good. I'm good in the sight of God. I'm right with him. I got an audience with God right now. God is for me. He's not against me. I can't do anything to earn God's favor. I just have it. I already have it. Then you can go through your day and say, I got favor with God. Don't mess with me. Temptation knocks at your door, tries to pull on you. You say, I got favor with God. I'm above that. I'm too good for that. I'm too good for the devil's mess. I mean, a dog has no sense. You open up a can of Alpo or some kind of dog food, put it in a bowl. And we had a dog, and, you know, we didn't even clean his bowl a whole lot. We just trusted his tongue to do the work. You know, he'd just get in there and just eat the thing, just slobber all over it. And the next day, next night, you know, you open up another can, drop it in the same bowl, didn't even go through the dishwasher. And he don't know any better. He thinks it's great. But you put that slop in front of, you know, somebody that's used to eating prime rib and salad and baked potato and eating nice things. You put that in front of them, that isn't going to work out very well. Right? You wouldn't eat that. You say, what is it? It's dog food. Well, get that away from me. Do I look like a dog? Do I look like a dog? I'm not a dog. So when the devil comes with sin, temptations, and we are convinced of who we are, and we've been looking at the law and discovering this righteousness of God that we've been made, and we understand that this is what we're one with. When something sinful, which is dirty and vile and detestable to the righteous, when that's put in front of you, you go, what is, get that away from me. What, are you kidding me? I don't want that. I don't want that. And now it's no longer, you better not sin, or I can't sin. I really want to. I really want to, but I know I can't. I know I can't. That'd be like sitting there and they put the dog food in front of you and go, I really, really want that. But I know I can't. I know it's not right. See, when you know you're the righteousness of God and they put dog food in front of you, you go, keep that away from me. And when it comes to sin, it's not that I can't do that. It's I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. You know, one of the ways the devil will try to tempt you to do something stupid is he will come to you and he say, this is what he will not say. People think he's going to come up to you and say, man, you want to do that. You want to do that. Come on, you know you want to do that. That's not what the devil says. You know what he says? He says, you can't do that. You can't do that. Christian. You can't do that. You can't do that anymore. You're a Christian. And then all of a sudden, that pressure starts coming. I can't. In other words, I want to, but I can't. And all this pressure starts building up until it's overwhelming. And next thing you know, you're doing what you thought you couldn't do. But when you look at things and the devil comes and says, you can't do that, you need to say to him, oh, yes, I can. Oh, I can do it, but I don't want to. I've been saved from that. I've been lifted up far above that. I've been made the righteousness of God. See, Paul, the apostle, had this revelation over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And then he says it also in chapter 10, verse 12. He says, all things are lawful for me. All things are lawful for me. Why? Because I'm not righteous through the law. I'm righteous through my faith in Jesus. What I do and don't do doesn't determine my righteousness. It's what Jesus has done and my believing in him that determines my righteousness. So the law isn't what makes me righteous, so therefore all things are lawful for me. But all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. So when things begin to try to pull on you, all you have to do is speak to it. Remind yourself. All things are lawful for me. I could do that if I wanted to, but I don't want to. I don't want to. Devil, if you're dealing with something that would just be trying to grip you and pull on you and torment you and try to make you do something that, you don't want to do, but yet you want to do, you're feeling this pull to do it. There's a part of you that wants to do it, and there's a part of you that's like, no, I don't want to do it. You need to just stop and say, hey, all things are lawful for me. I could do that if I want, but I don't want to. It's not that I can't, it's that I don't want to. As soon as you have that attitude, the pressure goes. When the pressure goes, the peace comes. When the peace comes, you're able to stand. You're not overwhelmed. You're not being overwhelmed. Why do people fall to temptation? They're being overwhelmed. Pressure, being pulled on. Thank God. No more pressure in Christ Jesus. No more pressure to perform. No more pressure to try to be right in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's quickly look at one scripture before we go. Can we do that? Or should I wait until next time? Jeremiah chapter 31. Verse 33, God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah under the old covenant, he says, and this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. He's talking about the future. He's talking about the coming of the new covenant, the New Testament. This is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law out of their minds and remove them from their life. When I bring this new covenant, there's going to be no more law. I'm going to put the law out of their minds. Is that what he said? Well, that's not what he said. And yet, many Christians think that's how it's supposed to be. But he says, when it comes to this new covenant, he says that he's going to make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So he's saying, when the new covenant comes, I'm not going to remove the law. I'm going to write it on their hearts. I'm not just going to give it on stone like I did with Moses. I'm going to write it on their heart. In other words, I'm going to make them one with it. I'm going to make this New Testament church, these New Testament believers, one with my law. Verse 34, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. See, that's New Covenant. Jesus came and he washed our sins away, right? And we like to quote that last part. We like that, that Jesus, he came and what did God do through him? He forgave us of our iniquity and our sin he remembers no more. We like that part. But what about the part before it? I will write my law in their minds and on their hearts. I'm going to wipe away the guilt. I'm going to wipe away the sin. I'm going to remove sin out of their members, out of their flesh. And I'm going to put my spirit in them. I'm going to put the lawgiver in them. And I'm going to write the law on their hearts. And they're not going to have any guilt. They're not going to have any sin. And they're going to be able to walk in the light of my law, which is my righteousness. We've been made the righteousness of God. We've been made one with the law through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid of the law. The law doesn't make me a performer. It doesn't put any pressure on me. It shouldn't be putting any pressure on you. The law should get you excited and say, I could do this. This is in me. This is who I am. Glory to God. I am the righteousness of God. I am one with this law of God. Thank you, Lord. We're not trying to perform anymore. We're not trying to be right anymore. We're just able to enjoy our salvation. Enjoy who we are in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad you don't have to try to be any better than you already are? You're not trying to be better than you already are. In fact, you can't be any better than you already are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can't get any better than that. I said you can't get any better than that. And that's who you are. So enjoy it. Enjoy it. And if you'd see yourself that way, and if you talk about it, remind yourself of it, man, it'd be the easiest thing in the world. Do the right thing. When the storms of life arise and pressures try to come, you'd be able to go through it in peace, not get under the pressure, and be able to do the right thing every time. Somebody say, I can do the right thing every time. Because I'm right. Hallelujah. God made me right. It's easy to do right. Because I am right. Man. See, that's the rest. We've entered the rest. And when you enter this rest of the righteousness of God, oh, there's no more pressure to perform, and it's easy to do the right thing. Easy to do the right thing. Glory be to God. The Christian life is the easiest thing in the world. It's hard being a Christian, carrying my cross for Jesus. See, these are people that don't understand. The Christian life is the easy life. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Christian life is easy. He's made it easy because he's made us Christians. He's made us righteous. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is in me. Say that. So being holy is easy. I got the Holy Spirit. I'm a Holy Spirit. I'm one with the Holy Spirit. I'm holy. I love holiness. I do holiness. I'm all about holiness. Amen. And holiness is fun. Amen. Because when you're holy, that means you're set apart, praise God, from all the devils, all the ugly things of the world, all the sin and all the detestable things, and separated from death. We've been made holy, set apart for God. If anybody can say, you can't touch this, it's us. Not some sinner rapper. Come on. He wishes he could say it, and he sings about it. But no, bless God, we could say it. You can't touch this. Turn to somebody and tell, you can't touch this. I'm holy. I'm sanctified. I'm set apart for God. Woo, hallelujah. I could walk right. I could talk right. The only reason why I wouldn't talk right or do right is because I lost sight of my righteousness. I forgot who I was. I went away from the word and forgot what kind of man I was. But if I meditated in day and night and keep the thing before me all the time and remind myself of who I am, keep looking in the mirror, praise God, then I'll make my way prosperous and I'll have good success. Glory to God. It'll be easy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, thank Him. Thank Him. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.